Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Whatever he did to this song.
Oh, tiptoe through the window, by the window, that is where I'll be. Come tiptoe through the tulips with me. Oh, tiptoe from the garden, by the garden, on the willow tree. Come tiptoe through the tulips with me. In the garden, in the moonlight, the new part in me, and tiptoe through the tulips with me.
Good boy! I mean, excuse me. I hope you like my rendition of Tiny Tim's Tiptoe Through the Tulips. I brought my ukulele in here to the studio, and Ed insisted that I try to imitate Tiny Tim. Good morning, and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I am not Tiny Tim. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, who is certainly not Tiny Tim, we thank you for joining us. It is Wednesday, May the 3rd. Wow. We have a lot going on this morning. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Aaron Withy of the Freedom Foundation, and we're going to talk to him. Do you remember last week, Randy Weingartner, the teachers' union president, testified before Congress on closing public schools during the pandemic? She was trying to defend that decision. Well, we got Aaron Withy, and we're gonna look back on that testimony and find out what was going on when she was there. And the Federal Reserve is expected to raise interest rates once again today. I think that's going to be the 10th time. As more turmoil hits the banking industry and inflation stubbornly carries on. So here's the question. Should the Fed just leave well enough alone at this point, or should they continue to, you know, tinker with the machine? We're going to talk about it. And good old California considers an apology and reparations to its black residents for slavery, even though the Golden State was never a slave state. What? We're going to take a look at that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, U.S. News and World has come out, U.S. News and World Report, I should say, has come out with a listing of the overall, the top 10 best states to live in. So stay tuned for that towards the end of our show as well. Well, so now Putin, Russian President Putin, is claiming that there was an assassination attempt on him with drones. Russian government officials are saying that the Ukrainians attempted to knock off Putin with a drone attack. Now, how do you prove that one? And how do they know it was Ukrainians? Could it have been a disenchanted Russian? Officials say the two drones were used in the so-called assassination attempt at Putin's residence within the Kremlin, but that they were disabled by Russian defense systems. No injuries or damage to the residence was reported. Apparently, Putin was seen in the video, and the Kremlin called the incident a terrorist action and threatened retaliation. What are they going to... They're already retaliating. They're, for God's sake, they've invaded the Ukraine.
Well, if that's true, what does that say about the Russian air defense to get that deep into Russia and fire upon his residence, if it's true?
I've often wondered why more attempts are not made to kill people, leaders, I guess, with drones. And that, in effect, if you can get into a country, you know what I mean, and then bring a drone along with you or something like that, I don't know.
It's very very easy here. All you have to do is disguise it as a Chinese weather balloon.
Yeah, my goodness, it would go anywhere, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. They could knock off
all the info you want.
Yeah. So this was on the eve, by the way, of Victory Day. Now, they say that the Victory Day is the May 9th parade, but they're saying the eve of Victory Day. Do they celebrate it before May the 9th? I don't know. Apparently, there are videos that show a drone being shot down over the Kremlin. But, you know, you can dummy this one up. I think everybody, can you believe Putin? Can you believe the Kremlin? You know, they have told so many lies over all the course of their history.
Well,
you don't know what to believe.
I mean, I don't know how far. I don't know how far Moscow is deep into Russia, but I mean, if you were,
it's deep in.
Okay,
it's not right on the border.
All right, so the United States, if you were to penetrate our airspace, it's well into the Atlantic Ocean. That if a plane did penetrate that, there would be fighters on it in no time, or at least shot down, I would think.
If you mean
before
if an
it
enemy
would get
plane
to the White
came...
House or something like that.
Yeah.
So why would it get that close?
I don't know. That's why I was saying that if you were able to get inside of the country to begin with, then you could do your damage maybe. I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever know the truth on that one. I would believe that there are lots of people both inside and outside Russia that would like to knock off Putin.
If you're using a drone, you better be damn sure you know where he's at, because otherwise you started a war.
Yeah. I just don't know that they can prove anything. They've already started a war with the Ukraine. So anyway, I'm sure there'll be more on that one. Here's a thing. I just don't know anymore with the Federal Reserve. We've talked about whether or not the Federal Reserve should even be in existence, because they tinker with our economy, a free market economy, which made our country great. Ever since 1913, we decided that we needed a handful of usually old white men, I hate to say that, but just a handful of banking heads to get together and decide to tinker with our economy by lowering and raising interest rates. Poised to raise interest rates once again today for a 10th time, the Fed are facing two competing economic trends that could make their future decisions even more difficult. On the one hand, we've got all that turmoil on the banking industry, and the borrowing limit of the government, which could weaken the economy if the bank industry starts restricting lending, and then financial markets start to be affected. On the other hand, we've got inflation. We got inflation, and that stubbornly continues. While it has slowed a little bit, it is persisting at a level far above the central bank's so-called 2% target rate, which raises concerns that the Fed is going to continue to tighten credit. You see what they're trying to do? They're trying to limit spending. When you raise interest rates, people spend less money. They borrow less. They spend less. And supposedly, the less you spend, the inflation rate will come down, because you don't have too much money chasing too few goods, right, when you start to restrict spending. But why, you know, as Ron Paul and then his son Rand Paul would say, why do we have the Fed interfering in the free market at all? I mean, what good does it do? You know, back when the Great Depression hit, in 1929, I was just a kid then, by the way, Ed. President Herbert Hoover wanted to leave things alone in 1929. And it wasn't until 1933, because during those 3+ years after October of 29 and the panic and everything, things were still not doing well. And that's what got Roosevelt elected. He immediately started opening up the government to spending money on people. That's really when our socialistic approach started. But for the next, from 1933 when he took office, until really till 19 middle of World War II, we still were in a depression. So whatever he did with all of that government spending didn't do a damn bit of good. I mean, it made us feel good. He put people to work doing government projects. We built a couple of dams, and in the long run, that might have helped. But that was really when we opened up the spigots. And then, you know, in 35, he started Social Security, another social program, right? Anyway, I think the Fed should stay the heck away. That's my feeling. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to change gears a little bit. Randy Weingarten, the teachers union president, testified before Congress last week. How well did she do? We're going to talk with Aaron Withy about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Berhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday, May the 3rd. Thank you so very much for being with us. And we are delighted to have Aaron Withy join us. He is the Chief Executive Officer of the Freedom Foundation. And last week, a week ago today, actually, Randy Weingartner, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers, went before a select subcommittee of Congress. It had to do with the coronavirus pandemic. And she was at taking questions on the consequences of the school closure during the pandemic. And Aaron, welcome back to Freedom Works. How did she do? How did she, in your opinion, how did she handle herself? Did she come off as truthful and sincere about what they were trying to do?
Quite the opposite, Paul. What we saw from Randy Weingarten last week was her trying to justify her shutting down schools by trying to erase that memory and try and convince us that she was actually the one trying to keep them open. Her arguments were completely illogical. They didn't make any sense, but what we did see from the from her testimony was that she directly wrote the policy that the CDC used to advise school, quote, reopening, which really meant keeping schools closed. And liberal governors throughout the country used these guidelines as coverage to then go and continue to keep schools shut.
Yeah.
Randy Weingarten was the main reason the schools were shut in America. And that is obvious to me and everybody with a memory.
You know, Aaron, as you're talking about all of this, I'm just thinking, I would hate to be a kid in school these days with all of the woke stuff going on and then the COVID thing going on. And here are these kids, especially grade school kids, that are the victims of these decisions, you know? And shutting down the public schools, I mean... We already have a problem with educating these kids, and then doing this to them. I just wonder how these poor kids, once they get old enough and get into adulthood, are going to be able to cope if they're actually kind of set back this way in their education.
Yeah, I wonder the same thing. My wife was a public school teacher, and she's seen that firsthand. Yeah, the agenda of the teachers' unions the past couple of years has been what? Shut down schools, CRT, sex ed in schools. I mean, you go through the list of their social agenda and their goals to indoctrinate our kids with liberal ideology rather than educate them and get them ready for the workforce is completely baffling.
You're right.
But that's what happens when you turn over public education to these teachers' unions. And I think what we need to see is we need to continue to see teachers' unions getting out of public education and have schools be run by parents.
I think you're making a good point. Now, public schools, have they not been hemorrhaging students to begin with? Most of the states, including Florida, have set up, not most, but a goodly number, I guess, have set up voucher programs, which are an alternative to forcing children into a public school in their district. It does give parents more control. I'm just wondering, so when Randy Weingarten and these unions, I think they, to some extent, they've been in panic mode for some time. Would you agree with that?
Well, what we've seen the past couple of years, thanks to the Freedom Foundation campaign, is that we've seen more teachers actually leave the unions than ever before. Literally hundreds of thousands of teachers have decided to stop paying union dues to these teachers' unions because they don't agree with the agenda that they've been pushing upon our schools. So that's encouraging because you think about it, every single one of these teachers is paying about $1,100 a year in union dues. That money was then being funneled off to liberal politicians and candidates to go and fund their elections. But now that money is back in the pockets of these workers and out of the teachers' union's radical political agenda.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Aaron Withey. He's head of the Freedom Foundation, which, by the way, is the nation's leading source of assistance for teachers that want to get out from under, I guess you could say, the strong arm of these unions, such as Randy Weingarten, and are working to help teachers kind of disband away, get out and on their own. Now, I guess for teachers, Aaron, in a way, it's like leaving the nest when you try to talk them out of staying in the union. It could be a little bit scary, right?
Yeah, it can be, but honestly, what we see for the most part, Paul, is that these teachers don't see that money is being used to benefit them. I mean, if you're a teacher, let's say earning $60,000, $70,000, something like that a year, and you're paying about $1,000, $1,100 a year in union dues, I mean, that money is probably better served in your pocket than it is going to the union's political agenda. So when we visit people at their homes and we send them mail and emails and digital marketing, all we're really doing is telling them that they have an option to put this money back in their pocket. And overwhelmingly, people are deciding to make that decision and leave the union.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a teacher in a public school, can you just jump out of the union and keep your job?
Yeah, you can. This comes after a U.S. Supreme Court decision in 2018, Janice Lee AFSCME, that allows every public employee in America to actually opt out of their unions. And all a teacher or a state worker or a county or city employee need to do is go to optouttoday.com. That's the website ran by the Freedom Foundation. And fill out the form there, and we'll help you get out of your union.
Okay, I got you. Tell me this, though. Let's say I'm a teacher. I've been in the union for some time, and then I decide to opt out. Won't there be pressure from the union and from my colleagues that are still in the union? Could I be blackballed, as it were, from the rest of them? Or how does that typically work, may I ask?
We've seen some of those tactics in the past, but the bottom line is that public employers and unions really can't discriminate against people that decide to leave their unions. I mean, it's their rights to do that are in federal law. Mm-hmm. So we at the Freedom Foundation have a team of attorneys that all they do is sue unions, and if there's ever any problems, then we give free legal help to any public employee that needs it, and all they'd have to do is contact us, and we would help them.
Getting back to Randy Weingarten, she was hit pretty hard with questions by Republicans, and I would, from what I saw at least, being defended at that subcommittee from the Democrats. She tried to bat away that charge that she was in, whatever you want to call it, collusion with the Biden administration regarding the CDC and, you know, what they were trying to do in terms of keeping kids out of school and the like. Did she come across as, you know, being able to justify was she trying to say that she was not really in any kind of collusion?
Oh, she was trying to say that she was the one trying to get schools open. She claimed that Trump and DeVos didn't have a plan for reopening schools. That was a lie. She claimed that she was the one that was trying to get schools open. But that argument makes no sense. She, Randy Weingarten, and the rest of government unions are the biggest funder of liberal politicians in America. Which states were closed? Those that were ran by liberal governors. If she were really trying to get schools open, she would only need to call Gavin Newsom of California, Jay Inslee in Washington at the time, Cuomo in New York State. She would have only had to call these people to get these schools reopened. Instead, it was the Republican governors that were opening their states. Ron DeSantis in Florida.
Yes, he was.
I mean, these were the people that were opening their states. So Randy Weingarten's argument here is completely illogical as she tries to change history.
Do you think the general consensus now, as we look back on all of that, is that we were so wrong to keep the kids out of the schools during the pandemic?
I hope that people see it that way. I mean, we at the Freedom Foundation sounded off pretty much after the first couple of months of COVID saying that we needed to get these schools reopened, because it became obvious very quickly that COVID didn't affect kids, at least not in a severe way. And the isolation done did more damage to their mental health and their decline in education levels thanks to the school closures. Our test scores are down 30 years. They put kids back 30 years from what they should have been at.
Let me ask you, Aaron, and by the way, again, Aaron Withey is the Chief Executive Officer of the Freedom Foundation, working to help teachers to opt out of unions, quite frankly. What's your take on charter schools and voucher programs and parents' involvement in, you know, taking their kids and making other choices?
I think it's amazing. I think that that's the way that it should work. Capitalism is a great thing, and when we provide free market opportunities for people to choose between, frankly, failing public schools or charter schools that can do a better job, or private schools, if you can afford them, that tend to do a pretty good job as well, we should be giving parents and students every opportunity to get their kids the best education possible. But when you don't have school choice, when you have public schools as your only option, there's no incentive for them to benefit the kids. Mm-hmm. And that is the biggest problem.
Are teachers' unions losing their clout?
Yes, they are. As their membership roles continue to decline, as parents continue to take their kids to charter schools and private schools, and as they tend to vote for school board officials that are not union lackeys, we saw that in San Francisco. They recalled the school board officials that were teacher union candidates. We saw it most notably in the Virginia governor's race, where we elected somebody who was not a tool of the unions. So I think we're starting to see a renaissance when it comes to teachers' unions in America.
Yeah, it seems like the teachers' unions just, you know, back the Democrats, and then, of course, the Democrats, therefore, back the unions. And, you know, it's just kind of a payoff. I can see why teachers that just want to be there to teach the kids would be upset with part of their union dues going towards things like that.
And that's most teachers. Most teachers, they don't go into public education to become some liberal ideologue indoctrinating our kids. They go to teach them reading, writing, and math. These people are heroes. My wife is a public teacher. It's the unions that give these guys a bad rap. It's the unions that are spending their money on ridiculous things that have nothing to do with benefiting our kids.
Aaron, it's a pleasure talking with you about this. Keep up the good fight. And once again, teachers that are in unions and even others can go to, is it optout.com?
Optouttoday.com.
Optouttoday.com. Thank you so very much, Aaron. I really appreciate it. Look forward to talking with you again.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, sir. Aaron Withy, Freedom Foundation. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, this is something I want to talk about. Just saw this on the wires. A Florida man has won a women's poker tournament. And we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Oh, her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful. And I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works on a Wednesday, and we thank you so very much for being with us. You know, we've already got transgender men, you know, swimming against women, running against women, playing volleyball against women. Listen to this, Ed. You know about the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino here in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Florida man drew ire over the weekend when he entered and won a women's poker tournament at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel. He's 70 years old. Dave Hughes is his name. He entered the $250 No Limit Texas Hold'em event with a prize of up to $17,000+. Of the 83 competitors to enter, 82 of them were women. He was the only man, and he won. Now tell me this, Ed. Did testosterone have anything to do with it?
I doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt it.
Have you ever been to the Seminole Hard Rock?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay. Yeah. Ever play poker there?
No. I'm not much of a gambler.
That's all right.
I just wondered, why was it women only and only one man?
Yeah,
did he just fly under the radar?
I know. And he wasn't dressed like a woman, nope.
Not claiming transgender?
He was allowed to enter.
Birthing unit?
Listen to this. Here's a reason. I know. I was wondering. He was allowed to enter because Florida casinos are prohibited from discriminating.
There you go.
Yeah, from banning men from entering a women's tournament or vice versa, according to anti-discrimination laws. So no matter what it says, if there's apparently anti-discrimination laws allow you to enter any of these things.
I don't see where you'd get a one-up. I would think maybe there are more professional men poker players than there are women.
Yeah.
I guess. I'm sure
there are. Yeah, I would think so.
Well, how old was he? 80 or something?
70.
70? 70?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, so let's see here. What anything else on this? Apparently, in Nevada, the casinos there have a similar rule.
Mm-hmm.
The World Series of Poker's ladies event, a $10,000 buy-in event. It says here women would receive a 90% discount in hopes of keeping men from entering. So that's how they do it there. They make it cheaper for a woman to enter than a man.
Seminole has their own laws, don't they?
Apparently. Yeah, I don't know what the laws are in Seminole.
Evidently, they're not up on that woke stuff yet.
It says here a video from Hughes' time at the tourney, which, by the way, was this past Saturday, was posted to Twitter. Some players put a bounty on him. which rewards poker? A player for eliminating
Good
him.
Lord.
Isn't that funny? The bounty went unclaimed. The women in the video can be heard saying, "Good luck, not really."
Wow.
they got a picture of him. He's got a white beard.
Yeah.
Sitting there in a open-necked short-sleeve cotton shirt. He's got sunglasses hanging off the shirt. Has a big smile on his face here in this picture. Anyway, there you go. That's the way things are these days in this crazy world.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Speaking, by the way, of women and men and doing different things, did you hear this? The U.S. Navy has revealed that it approached a drag queen to help persuade new recruits to join the Navy. Now, how do you... Is this the same? Is this going to go the way of the Bud Light deal? Are you going to get more people to join the Navy with a drag queen on a video? Jiggling around? Would that influence you to join the Navy yet?
But the drag queen is not... The drag queen is not a way of life. It's a performance.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a... I mean, it's something that they do, whether it be on stage or whatever.
Yeah, it's true. It's a professional thing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be just a regular... You'd have to identify as a man or a woman. I'm sorry, but I don't think...
Well, Yeoman Second Class Joshua Kelly, who goes by the stage name Harpy Daniels, announced... back last year, that he was the Navy's digital ambassador. He has over 1.3 million likes on TikTok. Let's see here. Apparently, the Navy did not compensate Yeoman First Class or Second Class Kelly or any officers for being Navy digital ambassadors, but apparently they're allowing it. So,
okay, well,
there you go.
I'm starting to wonder if all these goofy things that are going, they're all seem to be backed by TikTok.
True. Yeah. To some extent, you wonder. You wonder if there's an ulterior motive.
That was TikTok. All these stupid TikTok challenges these kids are doing, like choking themselves out. And it's all TikTok.
Yeah. It says here, the Navy's attempts to increase interest among young people comes amidst a historic crisis in recruitment. A survey found that only 13% of 18 to 29-year-olds are, quote, highly willing to join the military. Is it these days we just don't have the interest in joining?
Yeah, well...
Did I tell you this? I attended a get-together for a guy that was becoming a Green Beret this past... Saturday, there are very few of those guys. I said to him,
You don't have to refresh my memory very far. I remember where if you didn't take the vaccine, you got fired.
Right.
And weren't you kicked out?
I think that they threatened to kick you out.
Yes.
And then didn't they have to reverse themselves or something? I don't remember where it went, but these court cases seem to be coming out in favor of those that opted out.
The confidence in the military is not very high these days.
No. So, on to some other things here. Katrina Jean-Pierre, that is the press secretary to Joe Biden, she's becoming more... What's the word? More of an event than Biden is, to some extent. She has been eviscerated after declaring that illegal immigration was down 90%.
Yeah.
90% since Biden's immigration policies took effect. She was challenged on that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Doocy of Fox News challenged her. Boy, did she try to duck and hide from that comment.
Yeah, what did she say? We're done with the theatrics or something like that?
Yeah, we're done with your theatrics.
Yeah.
Because he was trying to get the question out about how could you say that with all of these people that are pouring over the border, the most recent statistics.
What somebody just needs to do is, in front of John Paul Jones, whatever she is, stand up with the facts and read the facts out.
That's what he was doing, you know, when she tried to cut him off and talk about the theatrics. Here's what she had to say. Let's see. During Monday's press conference, Ducey questioned her on how Biden plans to deal with illegal immigration. She insisted, well, I'm assuming it was Ducey that asked her. It just says here a reporter asked her. She insisted Biden has already put forth efforts to address the, quote, broken immigration system, unquote, on his first day as president. She goes on, in the meantime, he has tools that he's used to make sure we do this. We actually deal with the immigration system in a humane way, in a way that actually deals with what we're seeing at the border. And that's why you've seen the parolee program be so successful. The parolee program. When it comes to illegal immigrants, you've seen it come down by more than 90%. And that's because of this, the actions that this president has taken. She just plucks numbers out of the air. You can't believe a word she says now.
Listen, the bottom line is there are thousands coming across every day.
Of course. It could get worse.
And that's the only the ones that we can see coming across.
And as Title 42 expires, it's going to get worse.
And the tragedy is that just today, or it was last night, they caught the guy that killed five people that was here illegally and had been deported like five times. And here is, he's undocumented, he's here. And do you think there may be one or two more of those kind of people running across the border just like him?
Of course there is. You don't see the mainstream media talking much about this one, but they found this guy cowering under laundry at one of his relatives'
house. I can't stand when they call them, these people are so destitute and getting here in there, and they're underprivileged, and they're showing up in brand new clothing.
Oh, they got their iPhones.
This is a
they got their brand new clothing. They got usually got caps.
This is a choice.
Looks
to
like
them.
It's actually sometimes provided by our administration before they even get to the border. You wonder where they get that stuff.
I mean, you want people that are refugees that go to Ukraine, that are being bombed in their own country, and still trying to stand up for it.
Yeah. Yep.
And these people just coming across in droves. Brand new clothing, shoes, everything, cell phones. Come on in.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is you're right. They caught this guy, Francisco Oropesa. There was a 4-day manhunt. They found him hiding in a laundry closet about 36 or 40 miles away from where he killed those. I mean, he took a gun to innocent children.
Yeah. His wife was covering for him, I believe. His wife or his girlfriend, somebody was covering for him.
I'm sure.
So they're going to snatch her up, too.
Yep.
And I think it was either a relative or a neighbor that actually turned him in and got the $80,000 that was...
Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, authorities said today there were additional arrests in connection with what he did. So that does sound like the people that were covering for him.
Sure there were.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
It just goes to show you that these people that are coming across the border, they're all not sugar and spice and everything nice.
Oh, no.
I mean, come on.
Well, the whole system is just...
Drug dealers.
Now we're sending, 1,900 or whatever troops down to the border?
Yeah.
But apparently they're not going to be there to stop people from crossing.
Isn't it funny?
They're going to be there to do administrative work. What?
We're going to send troops down there now. That's what the Democrats want to do. They want to put troops down there now. When Trump did it, they complained that it was the wrong move because it weakens our military response.
Oh, of course.
But now this is okay.
It depends on who it is that's doing the talking.
Probably. I'll be twisted tomorrow.
I would hope that they would actually be involved in patrolling the border, but it does not sound like it. They're going to be sort of in the background, getting in the way. That's what it seems like to me.
Most of the Texas Highway Patrol is down there now.
Yeah, true. All right.
They're not defending our streets and roadways.
No. We're going to take our final break. And when we come back, California considers an apology and reparations to its black residents for slavery, even though California was never, ever a slave state.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back to the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, on the fantastic Tantalk Radio Network. But we know you are busy and you can't always listen 10 to 11, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So thanks to Ed, we've got all of our programs on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. At the top, you'll see the podcast button. Click on it. Ed's got all our shows up there that we've done. Most recent show at the top. You'll know who the top our top 10 list. You'll also know who the guest is and the topic. Bless Ed for doing that for us. OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, so California, which is doing everything in its power to get people to leave, has now got a reparations task force. They are preparing to recommend that the Golden State apologize and issue, quote, down payments, unquote, down payments, to black residents as a way to make amends for slavery and discrimination. Now, the state explicitly outlawed slavery when it joined the Union in 1850. But they want to do this in California. Okay. I bet all those citizens of California cannot wait to make these payments.
We need votes.
Just can't wait. Now, the task force, created by the great Governor Gavin Newsom, my sister calls him Gavin Nuisance, this task force was created in 2020. It has published more than 500 pages of documents that indicate it plans to recommend California issue a formal apology for the slavery and racism and consider the payments of varying amounts to eligible black Californians. You know what, Ed? I would almost like to see, I would not want to see the residents of California have to go through this, but I would almost like to see these bureaucrats have to administer this, to try to figure out who they would pay and who they would not, and how they would figure out who gets payment, how much. It would be such a nightmare if it really came to pass. I think that they just sit back and go, look, this is never going to pass, but we'll just go out and say it, and that way we'll get more black folks,
right,
and we'll get more liberal votes. We know that nobody in their right mind is going to pass this in the legislature. But wouldn't it be funny if they did pass it in the legislature and watch it? Because it would totally fall apart. You would have people screaming that they deserve payment when they wouldn't get any.
I remember, and we think that's bad, but I remember during the great riots of 2020, the Black Lives Matter organizational protests down the streets when they would bust open the windows of stores and looting was going on. And there was a young black woman out there saying, you don't understand, This is reparations.
Yes. Yes. Waltzing into some poor schmuck's place.
Yeah, because somebody goes by in the TV. Now, that's a...
Yeah, this is reparations.
I had a father was a slave, so I'm grabbing this 42-inch.
I'm going to go in there and get my reparations here in just a minute.
Oh, my God. Come on, people.
So you know that California is in huge debt to begin with, right? You know about that. Apparently, this draft report, by the way, goes even further. It recommends a slew of policy changes, including banning cash bail. Let's see here. Economists predict that California's reparation plan would cost the state more than $800 billion. That's with a B. California's total annual state budget is only $300 billion. So, of course, there's no way they're going to get the money. They would literally have to take every penny out of everybody's pocket, it sounds like, to pay for it. Nobody's going to go through that. So I don't know why we're even wasting any time, but it just shows you how crazy
this
they are.
There's no cash bail. They let you out on scout's honor that you'll be back for
Yeah, you don't,
court?
You don't have to post any money. Just go ahead. We'll see you in court. You're doing court in 3 weeks. Okay, I'll be there.
So
I'll be there.
Goodbye. So basically, the criminals are out before the ink is dry on the report.
There you go.
Yeah,
it makes no sense. Aren't they the same state that wants to give everybody a license that's illegal, a driver's license, and then, you know. Isn't that one of the things that's going on in California?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the craziest state in the world.
The guy that killed those people. The five people that killed him, what was that, Texas?
Texas, yeah.
He's on $5 million bail, so would they just, you know, let him go?
Well.
If it was in California?
If it was in California,
law?
I don't know what they, well, they would, I don't think they're crazy, but I don't think they'd be that crazy. Mm. There would be outrage on that one. Anyway, Ed, before we get to our top 10, I got our beloved, you know, the only thing we got going anymore is our baseball team, now that I think about it. Our hockey team was eliminated, but they're doing pretty well. And were they not beating up on Pittsburgh the other
night? So, last night's game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, it was the number one team in baseball, all of baseball, meaning the Tampa Bay Rays. And people were saying, well, the Rays have gotten to be 24-6 or whatever it is because they've beaten up on a lot of crappy teams. Well, last night they played the second best team in baseball, which is the Pittsburgh Pirates, and they beat them 4-1.
All right.
So we got a 3-game series, and we'll see what happens.
We got 2-1 with them.
We also have some of the lowest payroll, if the 2 to 4 bottom dwellers in the payroll stands. For the league, and
so let me ask you a couple of questions.
The top two are in their last in their division, which means the Yankees are now officially at the bottom of the AL East
right now. And they're like
the
second highest
payroll.
And
they're one game above 500, and they're $250 million.
Wow.
It's not doing well.
No, it's not. So on the Rays, because I've lost touch with even who the players are, does anybody in particular stand out? Now, we still have manager Kevin Cash.
Yeah,
right?
No, not, that's the thing. There's so many players. You can see it's a more of a we thing instead of I. You know, too many guys back then last year were swinging for the fence this time. Now it's get on base, and then we'll crack the homer.
So in other words, it's a team effort, and that's why they're the number one team in the major
leagues.
Yeah,
I mean, Randy Rosarena, he's got his own section now as a promo.
Now, who
is
he?
It's called Randy, what is it, Randy Land?
Okay, now who?
Rosarena.
Tell us who he is. What position?
Left field.
He's a left fielder, okay.
Outfielder.
So does he have like a Rose... Whatever it is out
there.
He's
got a whole section.
Oh, he does? That's cool.
For a ticket, whatever the ticket price is on the weekends, you get an official yellow Randy t-shirt, and you get a free beverage.
Oh, cool.
And he's got his whole sections filled up every Friday.
How is our attendance going? Is it going up?
Last night it dipped, but you got to remember, it's the Pirates. They don't travel well. So I think it was probably around 14,000, 15,000.
Okay. Well, we want to hope that it increases. Okay.
But real quickly, the Reds officially got the lowest one the other day. They had 3,000.
They have the lowest payroll?
They just had one of the worst attendance ever.
Oh, the Reds.
3,000 to a game.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Time for our top 10, Ed. This is the top 10 best states in the United States currently, according to U.S. News & World Report. Let me give you the way they figured this out. The Best States Project uses thousands of data points to capture how all 50 states serve their residents. The ranking analyzes statistics tied to more than 70 metrics across 8 categories, like health care, education, and natural environment. All right, so that's the game plan. Those are the rules. Here they are. Number 10. Number 10 is Florida.
They'll be higher.
Yeah, but you know what? They're number one in education.
Mm.
Number one.
Wow.
Over Massachusetts and New York and New Jersey. And they're number one in education right now, according to U.S. News & World Report.
I'll bring that up tomorrow at 10 o'clock. All right.
Yeah, do so. U.S. News & World Report ranking. Mm-hmm. Number one in education. Number nine, Vermont. Vermont is always somehow makes it. I don't know. Is it because Vermont is one of those little states up there?
Yeah, it's not much. Not much land. Everybody's happy.
Everybody seems to be happy.
They're liquored up half the time.
Are they liquored up? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maple syrup and stuff. Yeah. Okay. Number eight, Wisconsin. You know, in a way, Wisconsin reminds me a little bit like Vermont.
I like Wisconsin.
Yeah, I do too. I went to school there.
I went to university. Milwaukee was a beautiful city.
It is.
Oh, wow.
Milwaukee is a gem of a city. It really is. And I'll tell you what, if you ever want to go somewhere and just kind of get away from all of the normal places that you think of as a tourist, go to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. You'll enjoy it. All right. Number seven. Hey, right next door to Wisconsin is Iowa. Now, Iowa always seems to do well, too, and they've got the same thing with people that are hardworking, God-fearing people. So it's kind of a Republican state. Number six, New Hampshire. New Hampshire. Now, New Hampshire came out number one in crime and corrections and also in opportunity. I guess that means opportunity like getting a job. So there you go. Number five, Minnesota. That's always usually gets a good ranking. And they came out number one, by the way, in infrastructure. I guess their roads and their bridges, et cetera. All right, number four. Hey, we're staying in the Midwest here. Nebraska. I always think of Nebraska as corn and wheat and kind of a cowboy state to some extent, right? Number three, the potato state, Idaho. Idaho is considered a place, very conservative. But it's supposed to be a beautiful place. Okay. Number two, Washington, the state of Washington. Now, if you get outside of Seattle, believe it or not, people are pretty intelligent. You know, Seattle, Tacoma area is a little bit crazy, but the rest of the state, you know, you got a lot of things there. All right, Ed. It's out west, I'll tell you that. You want to take a guess?
I don't know.
Utah. The Beehive State. Number one in economy and fiscal stability. So there you go. All right. Thank you so very much for listening. Hey, we're going to be back on Friday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
And a happy Wednesday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. While the great weather continues here in the Bay Area, a high of only 79 today, low humidity, clear skies, overnight low tonight 67, tomorrow's high.